Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, August 21st, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Steger is preaching. The sermon today is Rest for Your Soul. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17.
So our scripture for this Sunday comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. It's the lectionary, which is the pattern. There's sort of a set schedule of scriptures that some churches follow, and so this is the assigned one for today. Sometimes I'll preach in the lectionary, sometimes we'll do something different. But for the summer, I'm mostly following the lectionary, and we're in the Gospel of Luke. This is Jesus teaching. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay, pause. Come up here. Come sit. Sorry, my kid's BFF is here, and we've been missing her. Come sit. Okay. Luke 13, chapter 10. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days when work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said all this, his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. So we're at the end of summer, right? Summer vacation. I know some of you have been traveling and enjoying time away and time in God's creation. Where have you all been? Where have you been going? Lake, what'd you say? Tahoe, were you there? With each other? No. You weren't there with each other, but you went to Tahoe, right? Where else have people been vacationing? What? Bucks Lake, where's that?
Out of Quincy.
And where's Quincy?
Just out of Oroville.
Out of Oroville. Okay, I got that. Okay, kind of up that way. Okay, wonderful. Dee, where have you been?
Alaska.
Excellent.
Seattle,
that's fun.
840 Nebraska Street.
840 Nebraska Street. Staycation, right?
We went to the Gold Country.
Gold Country, yeah.
Diablo Valley
College. Diablo Valley College, right? So over summer, you know, you're doing the brain thing on vacation, right? It's kind of not, vacation is good, isn't it? You kind of go, right? Well, okay, most of the time vacation is good, right? Do you have the vacation where you like did too much on the vacation, right? And you're racing around, right? Or then when you get home, you need the vacation from the vacation by the time you've unpacked all your camping supplies. I've also had those times that were labeled vacation, but they really ended up kind of being like family time. And I go, is that the same as vacation? Maybe not. That might be family time. But here we are. It is the end of summer vacation season. Back to school. Vallejo, Stephen Manor started on, what, Wednesday, I think? Benicia starts 2 days from now. I know Mimi starts tomorrow for Mount Diablo School District. And even if you aren't directly responsible for young people on a school schedule, the community shifts. It's a seasonal shift, right? The community groups that have meeting that maybe slowed down for July and August are kicking back in. And the fall is a time when we are jumping back in full speed, whether it's work, school, life, errands, caretaking, volunteering, right? And all that good, restful vacation, it kind of goes away pretty fast. Maybe for you, it's already gone. Any of you seen the trailer for Bad Moms, right? I haven't seen this movie yet, but so IMDb describes this movie this way. This is when three overworked and unappreciated moms are pushed beyond their limits. They ditch their conventional responsibilities for a jolt of long overdue freedom and fun and comedic self-indulgence. I think I might go see this movie. Because there's something about that sense of being like, oh my gosh, I've got everything I'm doing, and I got to get something ready for the bake sale, and it can't have peanuts in it, that does start to feel overwhelming, right? But you know, and I know, it's not just the moms, right? Do you have students who are juggling school, work, friendship, athletics, family time, right? You retired folks, even those without a regular schedule, you all are just as capable as being busy and tired as the folks who are working during the week, right? You're caregiving, you're volunteering, and your bodies can be older and slower and a little more tired, and you're still doing stuff. Because really, there's just a lot going on. There's lots on our schedules. There's lots of expectations that other people have on us. And then there's the expectations that we have on ourselves. And we can get pretty tired. And too often, I think our response to that tiredness is to just push through the tiredness. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Let me just get another cup of Starbucks. Right? Or, you know, I've just got that stash of Red Bulls in the refrigerator. Right? A little more caffeine and we'll just plow through. We're going to make it, right? Trying to make it to the weekend, but then the weekend has moving the garage and doing that, right? But here's what I know about cranky what I know about tired people is they get cranky. Know any cranky people? Right? Whether it's that exhausted customer service rep or somebody in a store who just kind of shoves your purchase by in this lackluster way, right? Or even when you yourself feel tired and small things all of a sudden feel enormously harder, you're like, oh, I gotta carry in one more bag of groceries, right? And when we're tired like that, I think a couple of things happen in our heads and in the heads of the people who are tired, right? One is you get a little jealous. Right, you watch somebody who's running by, and you go, oh, I wish I had their energy. Can't I bottle that little five-year-old energy and take it with me? Because I want that, right? I think we can also get resentful and a bit judging of anyone who appears well-rested, right? Oh, they look refreshed. You're like, oh, yeah, your life doesn't look anything like my life, right? And on the inside, when we're the ones running around, right, I think there's a sense of feeling trapped. I can't stop. I've got this. I have obligations and responsibilities. It's on my calendar. I said yes to this already. I don't want to disappoint the people that I said yes to, right? Even though I didn't really want to say yes to that in the moment, but I did, so now it's there, right? And all this can happen to anyone at any age. And you've seen what it looks like, right? It looks like burnout, right? Some of you are teachers, I know, and educators. Ever seen any burned out teachers? What? Right? Teachers, so Dorothy Bass, who wrote, a theologian, she wrote this book called Receiving the Day, Christian Practices for Opening the Gift of Time. And she noticed probably a hunger for Sabbath when she had a bunch of folks over at a Saturday night dinner party with a group of teachers. And pretty soon they're complaining about the mountains of papers that they have to correct the next day. And so we whined and we whined. And then the complaints gradually shaded into boasts. Someone listening might have thought that we were competing to see who had to grade the most, who worked the hardest, who was the most put upon by the demands of the job. What? Am I striking a nerve here? Is this sounding anywhere near familiar?
I just like the phrase, put upon.
Put upon, right? You're being put upon, right? And I'll say my own field, pastors, we're pretty good at being guilty at this too, right? We're trying to keep plates spinning. We're trying to get things going. We're trying to innovate, right? And you can end up with cranky and burned out pastors and religious leaders as well. Jesus, in our story from the Bible today, ran into one of those cranky religious leaders, right? So Jesus comes into this religious leader's territory. He walks into the worship service at the synagogue. He's teaching on the synagogue floor. And in the middle of it, right, he goes off the program and he heals this woman. And the response of the religious leader is to get cranky and angry. And he tries to regain some of this control and appeals to the crowd. Hey, 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 right? Hey, crowd, there are 6 days when work ought to get done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day. Sounds kind of burned out to me. But Jesus speaks, you hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his or her donkey and give it water? And so why can't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day? So Sabbath in the Old Testament actually has two theological threads, one of which you might be more familiar with is there are 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day, what did God do? God rested. And so there's a patterning for the week, right, that we have in the Judeo-Christian tradition. But the second theological theme on Sabbath is freedom. And that theological thread comes through the Exodus story. And so when the Ten Commandments are given, it is remember when you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so the spiritual intent of Sabbath, which Jesus is re-reminding the religious leader of that day, is that Sabbath is for rest and Sabbath is for freedom. And so this woman who had been bent over, feeling trapped in her twisted body and suffering from the affliction, is healed on the Sabbath. She who was so put upon is able to stand up straight. Her whole body changed position, right? Can't you picture her from being curled up in pain to be like, I'm free. I'm free. She's joyful. She's relieved. She's celebrating like it's the beginning of summer vacation, right? She receives that gift of Sabbath freedom. And her very first response to receiving that Sabbath freedom is to praise God and to give thanks. Right? I've received it. Wow. Let's worship. Sabbath is just as relevant for us today as it needed to be for that religious leader and that woman there, right? But it might look a little different, right? Some of you might have grown up with blue laws, right? When stores were closed on Sundays. It doesn't look like that right now, especially in California, right? So Sabbath keeping looks different, but I would say it's no less important. So first of all is recognizing that Sabbath is not some suggestion that God makes. Remember those Ten Commandments? Sabbath keeping is in that one too, right? So it's pretty central to the life of the community. But we good Protestants with our good Protestant work ethic, we're much better at the doing, right? Go forth, make disciples, love God, love your neighbor. We just did vacation Bible school, and it's like, God heals, right? God creates. Amazing. Do we do God rests? No. It's not even the message we teach our young people, right? So first of all, we have to recognize that Sabbath and resting actually has value, right? Naps have value, okay? But then I think I can preach about this because Sabbath has become important to me, because I have been that cranky, burned out person before. I actually got really cranky and burned out and had my midlife crisis at age 17. Because I actually did, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to do varsity basketball, and I'm going to take 5 AP classes, and I'm going to tutor an after-school underprivileged child, and I'm going to make it to Bible study, and I'm going to get like 5 hours of sleep a night. And I'm going to get really snippy at my friends when they ask me how I'm doing. I'm fine. Right? And it was a wise spiritual person who said, God wants you to rest. My first response is, no, he doesn't. She's like, it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. I'm like, nuh-uh. Right? I couldn't hear it, right? But part of it is when I'm running around like that, I'm functioning like God actually can't take care of things. That I have to take care of things. That if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And I'm letting people down, and I'm letting God down. So Sabbath for me is this radical act of faith and trust that if I don't do it, if I actually say no, that God will still do God's part. And so being able to stop, even for an hour or even for a day, does not mean the world stops, because actually the world doesn't rest on my shoulders. Darn it. Right? The world rests on God's shoulders. So although I could speak that with my mouth until I started practicing Sabbath keeping, it was the sense of, okay, God, I'm going to let go and give that to you for this bit. I would encourage you all to be examining your own Sabbath keeping practices. It doesn't look like blue laws. It doesn't look like the Jewish tradition where you might start with candles lighting on Friday night and go until Saturday night. It may not be 24 hours. It may be Sabbath moments, right? But moments where you can stop and accept this gift that God has given you. Kind of like the mini vacation, right? The things that you enjoyed and loved on vacation, whether it was sitting and just having a cup of coffee with somebody you care about, whether it was staring out at the water, right? What would it look like to take a detour on your way home from work and go and sit and look at the water for 5 minutes? And in that, receive that gift of Sabbath and respond by praising God. And perhaps not being so cranky when you get to the place that you're going to go. There's also a bit about infecting this Sabbath keeping into our relationships, right? So remember those teachers who were whining about, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. You have so much to do. I have so much to do, right? We tend to one-up each other on that. What would it look like if we were encouraging and celebrating that rest rather than competing for our productivity? What would it look like to honor somebody else's boundaries if they say, no, I'm full up right now? To not give them the guilt trip of, well, there's lots of other people doing things, right? But instead to say, wow, sounds like you've got things going on right now, right? Or, you know, if somebody says, yeah, and I did nothing yesterday, right? That you go, yeah, cool, right? Cool. You did nothing yesterday, right? And some Christian theologians even extend this out in a social justice kind of way, right? That time off is not a luxury, that time off is a human right, that sleep and rest and renewal and time to not work is a necessity of being a human being. How does honoring the Sabbath look like for a person who's working two jobs at minimum wage, just trying to feed and clothe and shelter his or her family? It may look like providing the kind of wages that would let that person have some time off. Because could you imagine how our world, how our country, how your neighborhood, how your school would be different if it were full of well-rested, joyful, grateful people, not people who felt so put upon? For ultimately, God created us for life, for abundant life, right? And there's responsibility in that life, but there's joy in that life. We might be missing some of that. So for wherever you are, wherever you feel that bent over sense, I invite you this day to accept that gift, this gift of Sabbath, to straighten up, to take that deep breath, to sense God's in spirit, and then to rejoice and stand tall and praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.